Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Draft Digest Weekly, brought to you by NFL Draft Bible here on All Access Football and also heard on the Fantasy Sports Channel. We're glad to have you here this Sunday morning. Our first in a series of positional shows. We are breaking down the quarterbacks today, and I want to say good morning to my man Justin Van Fulpen on the line as always. Justin, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Ralph, Reverend Ralph Mancini in studio with me here today. How's it going, Reverend? How was Mass today?
It was pretty good. Happy Sunday. Always love talking football with the Sportsmaster and the Draft Guru.
So what was the sermon about this morning? Were you talking about keeping the elbow up when you're back to pass, eyes down the field, footwork, that type of thing?
Yeah, and always be cognizant of the pass rush. Always important.
Of course, of course. And we really have a quarterback guru coming on with us later today, Mr. Bob Johnson. He was on with us last year as he was prepping numerous quarterbacks for the 2009 draft, including number one overall pick Matthew Stafford, top five pick Mark Sanchez. So we'll delve into that a little bit and see how his former students were doing in the NFL this season. What are his thoughts on that? This year he's working out with Mr. Colt McCoy out of Texas, as well as Big 12 quarterback Zach Robinson and Sean Canfield coming out of the Pac-10, a guy who kind of emerged as a senior year. But we're going to be talking about quarterbacks all day long, all show long. Who's the best quarterback? Where should Tim Tebow go? Who else could go in that second round? Who are the sleepers? Who are the best of the rest? We'll even chime in on who are the stars of the future and who might be the guys we're talking about next year for the 2011 draft. So if your team doesn't get a quarterback this year, there'll be plenty of guys available next year. Some people think next year's class might even be stronger, particularly if some underclassmen jump in there. So let's start now. Let's go right into the who the best quarterback is. It's a pretty much consensus, a two-horse race. Is it Sam Bradford? Is it Jimmy Clausen? Justin, we'll start out with you. Which direction are you going? Who's the best quarterback right now, in your opinion, in the 2010 NFL draft?
Well, I think I go with Jimmy Clausen just because he was in that pro-style system. We saw what Matthew Stafford and Mark Sanchez, they came out of that pro-style system in college, and they were able to assimilate to the NFL pretty quickly. And I think that's where, Jimmy Clausen was coached by Charlie Weiss, who now is the offensive coordinator there in Kansas City and has been very successful with quarterbacks in the NFL and tutored Jimmy Clausen and in that manner of being, hey, a guy who can be that pro-style guy, under center, knows how to read defenses, got a pretty strong arm. The big question mark is, hey, is he a one-year wonder? We saw he didn't have the greatest freshman and sophomore season, came on as a junior last year, had the toe injury, he's not going to be able to work out at the NFL Combine coming up. We'll still be able to do interviews and different things like that, but as far as he won't be able to show his full potential until his pro day there in South Bend. So, there's still some question marks on that, but I like him because he comes out of a pro-style system out of Notre Dame. He's got a strong arm. He's pretty accurate. I think he's got the intangibles that can make him a top, tier quarterback at the next level.
Yeah, Jimmy Clausen definitely improved on his numbers this past season. Touchdowns went up only 3, 25 to 28, but more importantly, the interceptions went down 17 to 4. He saw his completion percentage jump a little over 7 full points from 60.9% to 68% overall. That's a pretty impressive jump. So, I could see why you like Clausen. How about Ralph? Which direction are you going in? Is it the Boomer Sooner, the Heisman Trophy man, or the Golden Domer?
Well, while I agree with Justin's assessment of Clausen for the most part, I'm going to go with Sam Bradford here. I think he's more NFL ready. I think he has that prototypical height at 6'4 compared to Clausen, who checks in maybe at about 6'1. Plus, Bradford has been compared to elite quarterbacks like Tom Brady for a reason. He's a heady field general who makes quick decisions and has an equally quick release. While Clausen has a stronger arm, there's no doubt about that, he hasn't proven to me that he can make all the throws he'll need to complete in the NFL. He sometimes insists on throwing the ball hard when more touch is needed, and he doesn't always handle the pressure, the pass rush well. In fact, Clausen will often resort to throwing off his back foot when he has defenders in his face. And one more thing that I really like about Bradford is I love his mobility in the pocket. He's far from being a sitting duck. I'm going to go with Bradford here.
Well, Ralph, I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to go with Sam I Am Bradford from Oklahoma. You know, he obviously had that phenomenal season as a redshirt sophomore, 50 touchdown passes on his way to the Heisman Trophy, injury plague season. And but I think he's got more upside, and that's why I'm leaning towards Bradford. 6'4", he's got a nice wide frame, and I think he's got room to grow, get bigger. I think he's got a lot of room to get that arm stronger. So he might not be as effective this year in terms of his physical skills, but I think as he grows and matures, there's a lot of upside there. I love his accuracy. You know, that's a big thing. I think he's far more accurate than Jimmy Clausen is. And as far as Clausen's concerned, you know, we got to see what his size is. You know what I mean? He's listed, by, Notre Dame in that 6'3 range, but we're hearing that he's not really that tall. So that'll be interesting to see when, he checks in what his height is. And I think that could affect his draft stock. You know, people may laugh and think it's silly, but if you're 6'3 or 6'1, there's a difference there. And, I mentioned it before, his interceptions went down, but I think, I wonder sometimes how much of that is a product of most of his passes going towards the perimeter. A lot of his yardage, a lot of his completions were outside the hash marks thrown to those outside receivers. Now, you can say, hey, Dan, that's the strength of his receivers, so it makes sense. And, that may be true, but at the same time, I don't know what's going to happen if he starts having to use the middle of the field and reading where the safeties are. And we know that's where most interceptions and mistakes come in, is that middle of the field where there's a lot of traffic going on. And, it reminds me a little bit of Jamarcus Russell. He saw his interceptions go down a lot his junior year before he headed into the NFL. And I know for a fact that LSU was very cognizant of that, throwing the ball outside the hash marks, using that arm strength rather than using the mind to see which guy is open in the middle of it. Justin, defend your boy, Jimmy.
Well, I think the biggest thing is when, I think the arm strength is going to outweigh as far as, because we saw what happened with Matthew Stafford last year and of the debate of what quarterback's going to go higher, just because the NFL is enamored with that arm strength. And, we saw, like you said, Jamarcus Russell went number one because of that big arm. Matthew Stafford went number one because of the big arm. And so I think that's where he goes ahead and says that. And also the injury concerns, huge thing with Sam Bradford. I mean, he's had the shoulder injury, and as far as, he could check out medically, and he'd make all the throws there in, in the shorts and at the combine, at the pro day at Oklahoma. But the question mark is when he gets into a game and starts getting as far as hit again, is that injury going to be, flare up again? I think that would concern a lot of NFL personnel, saying, hey, if we take him with the number one pick as far as the Rams, and invest all this money into him, and he comes up and he's has a bum shoulder for, once he gets hit again, that's the biggest thing there. So I think he's got to check out medically. I think there's a lot of question marks around Sam Bradford with his shoulder, with his arm strength. I agree with you guys as far as his mental makeup is probably better than Jimmy Clausen as far as decision making. But I think as far as physically, he's not on par with Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, there's definitely the injury risk. And from previous shows, I wouldn't give either one of these guys like a top 10 grade. I don't think either one is a kind of a slam dunk franchise quarterback. And, for people that have bought our guide in the past, we didn't think that of Jamarcus Russell either. We weren't as impressed as everybody else was with him throwing the ball 70 yards in shorts with no defense, in a controlled environment. That's not going to happen much in a game. So, yeah, you take that, and it's tough. This is a tough position to evaluate, and this may be the last year you're really rolling the dice in terms of money, where you're investing so much money in these guys and the signing bonuses, where basically you're married to these guys for at least 4 or 5 years. There's no quick annulments when you take a quarterback in the top 10 and you give them those kind of bucks.
No, absolutely. But the thing is that if you're a team that's desperately looking for a franchise quarterback, and let's say you're the Washington Redskins at number four, you can't pass up a guy like Bradford, or maybe even Clausen if they prefer him over Bradford. You can't pass up a guy like that within the first top 10 picks because, when you're talking about the number one or number two quarterbacks, those guys are going to go quickly, despite what you might think of them and despite the question marks that are out there.
All right, let's move on. And, what about Tim Tebow? The superstar, the college star, unbelievable college numbers, Heisman Trophy, three times a finalist, national championship, You know, two national championships, but I don't want to give him too much credit for the first one. He was the backup quarterback. Chris Leak was the starter there. Set the SEC record in rushing touchdowns. Yeah, Herschel Walker did it in one last year, but still, he did it as a running back. So, hey, you know, take nothing away from him. Unbelievable college player. You cannot knock his college credentials, but he's not in this conversation, and it seems like he's slipping and slipping more and more, where it's not even becoming, is he going to be a first-round pick? It doesn't look like he's even going to be a second-round pick. Ralph, we'll start with you. I know we've talked about this guy over and over and over again. Can you give us something fresh on Tim Tebow here?
He's the great question mark. You know, with that Byron Leftwich-like delivery he has, that's going to get him killed in the pros, as well as the way he holds the ball down to his thigh. And the other thing that concerns me about Tebow is I don't think he sees receivers down the field quickly enough. I don't think he sees open receivers quickly enough. He doesn't anticipate a la Drew Brees. So to me, he's a project. He's not going to make an impact in his first year. He's not going to make an impact as a quarterback. And he's not going to make an impact in his first year as an H-back, as a running back, as a tight end, or whatever position you decide to line him up at. Because, hey, if you move him to H-back, he doesn't know how to block. He hasn't caught any passes. And really, he hasn't run the ball as a running back. So really, I mean, any way you look at it, any way you slice it, this guy's going to be a project.
Yeah, and Ralph, the Senior Bowl, as much as it exposed some of his passing skills, to me, that was new news. We've seen those types of fluttering passes before. I was never high on him as a quarterback, but what concerned me was his athleticism. You know, suddenly that guy that always got yards after contact, that made plays with his legs, he wasn't able to do that in the Senior Bowl. When he had 11 defenders with NFL speed on the other side of the defense, he struggled to make things happen, and he did not get anything after contact that was not nearly effective the 2-3 times he tucked and ran in the Senior Bowl. How about you, Justin? What's your take on anything new here, or you think you kind of have a good feel for this guy at this point?
You know, I think we've got a pretty good feel of where he's at as far as at the quarterback standpoint. The biggest thing is he's going to be a guy who's going to be covered as far as at the NFL Combine and throughout this whole process. And he obviously is one of the greatest college quarterbacks that's ever played, and maybe one of the greatest college players ever that has played. So, I mean, you'll give him his due as far as, but he's just not a guy that's going to be able to make that huge impact at the next level. I see him as a guy maybe that could play a little bit of Wildcat. We saw what Pat White does. You know, I think the biggest thing is let's see what his 40 time is. Let's see what some of his agility numbers are and different things like that before we say, hey, he can play other positions. So let's wait on that before let's see what he does at the NFL Combine and those testing numbers before we can say, hey, he can be an H-back or a receiver or a running back. So I think there's still some question marks on if he could play another position. You guys bring up some pretty good valid points about what he's been able to do, what we saw at the Senior Bowl.
All right, now let's talk about some players who might be second-round type quarterbacks in that range. I mean, I don't think any of these quartet that I'm going to bring up here is a lock to be a second-round pick, but I think they can still play themselves in there. Some are a little further away, like a Tony Pike, who maybe didn't help himself in the Senior Bowl, but I'm still going to throw his name in the hat. Justin, we'll start with you. Out of Tony Pike, Jevon Snead, Dan Lefever, and Mr. Colt McCoy, which guy do you think there is most likely to be a second-round pick and that third quarterback taken in the draft?
I think right now where we're at is Dan Lefever from Central Michigan. I think he had a pretty good Senior Bowl. He showed as far as he was accurate. Doesn't have that huge, strong arm to get the ball deep down the field, but he's a guy who could really be, you know, kind of a system-type quarterback who can manage the field. I think he's smart. He's a pretty good athlete. Can move around the pocket. And so I really like what he brings to the table there over those other guys. So I think right now he's the third quarterback in that place. We haven't seen what Colt McCoy's done, is if he's going to be healthy and where he's going to be back. So I think he could come back and be that third quarterback. But I think right now, if the draft was held today, it would be Dan Lefever.
Yeah, when you talk about Dan Lefever, you're talking about a guy who's put up pretty close to Tim Tebow-esque numbers. You know, he's kind of like the Tim Tebow with the Mac the last few years in terms of being a dual-threat guy. But he looks a lot more polished as a quarterback. And during that Senior Bowl week of practice and in the game, he seemed to translate pretty smoothly from going under center and dropping back. I was impressed by that. How about you, Ralph? Which guy stands out to you among that quartet?
Well, actually, I like three of these guys as second-rounders. I do like Tony Pike, a very tall but extremely thin quarterback, above-average arm strength, can throw with touch and accuracy. And then I also like Lefever as a second-rounder. Yeah, I know he doesn't have great arm strength, but he showed good overall improvement in the Senior Bowl by demonstrating spot-on accuracy on sideline throws, exhibiting good touch, ball placement, and he's elusive as a runner when he tucks it in. And as far as Colt McCoy, he's a little bit more of a question mark compared to the other two guys that I mentioned, but I think ultimately he's a second-rounder also. I know that at Texas he operated a spread attack where he mostly executed short passes between 10 and 15 yards. His arm strength and his size are question marks as well. But let's not forget, he kept his interceptions to a minimum. On the plus side, his mechanics are solid. He routinely places the ball where his receiver can catch the ball in stride. He has a smooth throwing motion and a lightning quick release. So there are some things to like here about Colt McCoy. I would definitely take him over Tebow, and I do think he's a second-round pick.
Well, Ralph, the two games I'm going to throw at you with Colt McCoy is against Oklahoma, 21-39, 127 yards, one TD, one INT. Against Nebraska, 20-36, 184 yards, zero touchdowns, three interceptions. And you know, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not completely downgrading the kid and saying he shouldn't be drafted, or, you know, I wouldn't take him myself higher than the third round. But, you know, I have questions regarding his arm strength. I think his low interception numbers is due to that most of his passes are short, you know, to intermediate route. He doesn't really throw the ball downfield that often. They're more of that short passing game, in that the passing game is often the running game, particularly at Texas, because they don't have a great running game. I think he's a little bit of an underrated athlete, and I'm also concerned about his size. He's not very big, mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you watch him play a lot as a freshman, he has gotten bigger. So unlike some of these guys like a Bradford or a Pike, who we talk about, wow, can he get bigger in 2 or 3 years with his big, long, tall frame, my concern with McCoy is, has he almost maxed out already? Because he's gotten significantly bigger and stronger in the last 4 years in Austin.
Yeah, you bring up a good point here. He does have a thin frame. And I think the frame that he has, I don't think he can carry much more bulk than he already has. That's a valid point. But then you bring up arm strength, and, I mean, let's face it, is his arm any weaker than Dan LeFever's? You know, is arm strength everything in the NFL to be a good NFL quarterback? Is that all you need? I mean, I think that he's a big question mark. I think he's more of a question mark compared to LeFever and Pike, but I think he also has the skills that translate into him being a second-round pick as well. I would rank him below Pike and LeFever at this point, but I do think he has skills there that he can build on. And, again, I don't think he's a starter from the get-go. I think he's a guy you might have to develop for about a year or two. But I definitely like him better than Tebow, and I think he's a second-round pick.
And out of the guys we've spoken about, it's obvious that, you know, Jevon Snead is the one that made a lot of people scratch their heads. What was he thinking? Why did he come out? You know, we saw his numbers drop across the board, you know, a couple percentage points in completion percentage, but, you know, that's huge. He went from 56-3, and while we look at these other players moving up 5, 6, 7 percentage points in their completion percentage, his dropped to 54.4. The biggest concern is touchdown ratio went from 2-1 at 26-13 to 1-1, 20 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. I still like Jevon Snead. I got to be honest. I still like him. It's one of those things where – he makes certain throws, and you're like, wow, these other quarterbacks just can't make those throws. Now, that obviously doesn't mean he's going to be a big-time NFL quarterback, but I think he's a guy that has the most upside in terms of being coached up. I think he's still very raw. He's definitely not going to be able to play for a year, maybe not even 2 years, but he's got all the physical tools. I rate him very high in terms of physical ability, the measurables, and the potential as a quarterback. A lot of room to grow. I don't like the fact that, you know, he seems to put his head down, and it, you know, whether he throws a great pass or a poor pass seems to kind of dictate how the next series may go in offense, and he needs to get a little mentally stronger, but he's still a young kid. You know, we can't write him off there completely. Justin, what's your thoughts on Jevon Snead, who once was in the same quarterback depth chart as Colt McCoy back in Texas? He was a year of a year beneath him. He was a true freshman when Colt was a redshirt freshman. What's your take on Jevon and his chances at the next level?
you know, I think he's a guy who's got the big, like you said, I mean, could be a guy who could really jump up here in this process as we get through the NFL Combine, his pro day, and et cetera. Because I think when we started this whole process here back, you know, before the season started, he was the guy that everybody was talking about, hey, this, if talking about juniors that are going to declare, he was the guy, hey, everybody had him. He was the number one junior quarterback coming out, et cetera, et cetera. And he had a bad season. So the question mark is, why did he have that bad season? Why those numbers that you presented, why did that happen? Why did he go from a 2-1, you know, touchdown interception ratio to a 1-1? Why did, you know, so is there a story that we haven't heard about? Is there, and that's the biggest thing, I think, when he sits down at the NFL Combine and says, okay, hey, this is the, you know, this is the reason that I had this problem, or this is, there was an off the field issue, something was going on, and this was why I wasn't focused, I was injured. So I think there's something that we're not totally getting. Because I think he was a good enough quarterback. I don't think he should have dropped that so much. So there, I think there could be some things that we don't know, that maybe, hey, while he gets through this process, that the NFL teams get comfortable with those questions being answered, and he can kind of show up and bring his stock back up. So he's a guy, I think, it's kind of that wild card guy who, you know, could get up to the second round, or things go to, you know, he could drop down to the fourth round. So he's got a lot of riding on the NFL Combine, his pro days, his personal workouts, his interviews. So these next couple of months are going to be big for Jevon Snead.
Yeah, Justin. I mean, this guy no doubt has a tremendous arm and can really launch it downfield without even using his lower body that much. That's what really impresses you about him. But his mechanics are often out of control. He frequently fails to set his feet. He short arms or hurries his throws a lot. He doesn't use a solid over-the-top delivery. He doesn't perform well under pressure, makes poor decisions, throws against his body, and has this tendency to throw his passes on a straight line when he needs to put some air underneath them. But the good thing here is there's a lot to work with in Jevon Snead in terms of physical tools and physical ability. But you have to break him down, totally break him down, and then slowly build him back up at the NFL level. And that's why I wouldn't use a second-round pick on him. To me, he's more of a developmental guy with high upside.
Yeah, Ralph, great analysis there on Mr. Jevon Snead coming out of Ole Miss. A really interesting, I think maybe the most, probably the highest ceiling of this group, but also the lowest floor of this group. And there's a lot of question marks there, and that's what makes this fun. And, hey, you got to coach him up. It's not just about drafting guys and taking a finished product. You know, a lot of teams that are successful with their draft picks, part of the reason they are successful is because they coach these guys up better than other teams do. So can you pull that potential out of them is the key if you draft a guy like Jevon Snead. All right, now who are some sleepers? Who are some guys that are not going to go in those first two rounds, but, hey, potentially down the road could be that guy that was a fourth or fifth round pick that ends up being a starting quarterback? Ralph, I'm going to start with you. I know you love your boy. Let's go Mountaineers. Talk about Jarrett Brown.
Yeah, JB, Jarrett Brown is the guy that I like out of this group here. I think Brown showed a ton of promise at the Senior Bowl with a couple of weeks ago, where he outperformed Tim Tebow. He has good size, a strong arm, a quick release. He throws lasers when he's able to step into his throws. He has the speed and the strength to elude defenders as well as break tackles as a runner. The biggest thing that works against him is that he was only a one-year starter at West Virginia. He needs the reps. As Mike Mayock on the NFL Network said, you know, if somebody drafts this guy in the fifth or sixth round, is he going to get the opportunities to get those practice reps for him to improve? You know, so I think it really, you know, his success at the next level is really going to depend on who takes him and what type of need they have at quarterback. I think right now he could step in and be a good backup, but he needs the reps. He needs somebody to mold him, but I think the stuff is there. I like his instincts. He looks like a quarterback, has that great release. I love the way the ball comes out of his hand, and I like him better than some of these other sleepers out here, guys like Tim Hiller, guys like John Skelton. They're big guys, guys with big arms, but guys that haven't shown me any accuracy and haven't shown me enough touch on their throws. I'm going with Jarrett Brown here.
All right, Justin, how about you? Give me a little love for one of those big, strong-arm guys.
Well, you know, a guy who I really like and who I think is a big sleeper is a guy who was at the Texas First Nation game, this Jonathan Crompton out of Tennessee. Kind of a surprising guy who's not going to the NFL Combine, but talking with NFL scouts down there in El Paso all last week, you know, they really liked it, you know, saying, hey, this guy's got an NFL arm, he's got his mechanics are there, you know, he just needs some seasoning, you know, needs to be a guy who kind of comes up and moves his, you know, as far as his mechanics and his, you know, things just kind of take it up to that next level. And so he's a guy who I think of, you know, hey, he's a guy who's probably not going to go to the Combine, will have his pro day there at Tennessee, and could end up being a fifth-round pick. And 2 years from now, we could say, hey, this guy is the one of the better quarterbacks who didn't get any love, you know, going into this process here in the 2010 NFL Draft.
I guess you guys are leaving me with default with going with John Skilton. I'm a Tim Hiller fan myself. I think he's kind of got that prototype NFL build. He's got to adjust to the game catching up to him in terms of speed wise, but otherwise, I like him as a long term project. If we're talking about snagging him in the fifth round, you know, I think sometimes you'd rather have a guy like that in the fifth round than use a second round pick on a guy who might not make it as well, where you're wasting a more valuable pick. As for Skelton, I mean, he definitely has got, you know, the big size, the rocket arm. You know, he'll impress you in those Jamarcus Russell-type drills, you know, where he can just air it out. But, you know, really, the little we've seen of him, I know we had somebody scout him in the Columbia game, and he threw three interceptions, I believe, in that game in a loss. And to be fair, our analysis was that he kind of understands the team isn't necessarily that great, so sometimes you realize, hey, I got to make a play. So sometimes you got to take a chance. You know, that was my defense with Matt Ryan a lot, because a lot of people brought up the interceptions with him a couple of years ago, and I was like, hey, look, you know, he doesn't have the receivers Chad Henne has and a lot of these other guys do. So, you know, his receivers aren't going to be as wide open, and sometimes you can't, you know, if you're not a great defensive team, if you're not a great running team, you can't afford just to throw it out of bounds if that's necessarily the right play. Sometimes you got to throw it up for grabs. So maybe that's what happened to Skelton that day. But, you know, when we saw him play in the East-West Shrine game, he really didn't impress that much. You know, I'm not sure if he will get drafted, to be honest. But, you know, the raw potential is there that, hey, you know, like we said, all it takes is one team to love you. All it takes is one team to get enamored with your physical skills and say, hey, I can coach this kid up. I'm going to make him an NFL quarterback.
Well, the thing that worries me about him, about Skelton, when I, you know, the few times that I've seen him at the collegiate level is, I think sometimes he might suffer from that Jay Cutler disease where, you know, he knows he has a strong arm, and because of that, he takes chances. And he makes a lot of mistakes when he takes those chances. And the other thing that worries me about him is, to me, when I saw him at the All-Star game, at the East-West Shrine game, he only threw that ball at one speed when a lot of times he just, you know, needed to throw that ball with a little bit more touch, maybe a little bit more arc and put some air under the ball. So, and the other thing that concerns me a bit is he doesn't use his feet that much. So, yeah, he's a developmental guy, and I agree with you. I don't know if he's going to get drafted or not, but I think that the stuff is there, the talent is there, but I don't know if he's going to be able to harness it. I don't know if he's going to be able to sort of check himself when he wants to take those chances like a Jay Cutler does at the NFL level.
All right, let's go with the best of the rest. You know, we don't want to leave everybody off here. You know, we can't talk about every quarterback, but there are a couple of guys we definitely don't want to leave off. Justin, let me throw you, Jonathan Crompton, who you also saw down there at the Texas versus Nation game. What are your thoughts on him and where he stacks? Can he be a potential starting quarterback down the road?
Oh, I think definitely. I think he's a guy who's got all the ability. I think he does a good job with his footwork. And I think, you know, that's a big important thing when we're talking about quarterbacks is making sure your body's in the right position. And he does that. I think as far as watching, you know, all his practices there, and I think he's got some good leadership abilities there, and different things. He's got the NFL arm. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's that, can he make all the throws? He can make all the throws. Does he have as far as the footwork? Can he do that? So I think he's just got to be able to harness it, put it all together, because sometimes he's inconsistent, and sometimes he looks great, and the other times he looks, oh, this guy, you know, what's he doing? And that what he had there at Tennessee was, you know, he wasn't always consistent, you know, throwing the football. And he you know, kind of was down and then had a pretty good senior season and really, you know, helped Tennessee get back into, you know, a bowl game, you know, went to Chick-fil-A Bowl and didn't have a very good game against Virginia Tech. And didn't have a very good game in the Texas versus Nation game, but his practices are where, you know, those NFL scouts, you know, said, hey, well, this guy has really got it all. So I think his just job has got to be being more consistent. because he's got all the ability. Just if he can channel that and be consistent, this guy could be an NFL starter down the road.
Yeah, Crompton threw 27 touchdown passes as a senior quarterback after throwing only 9 in his first 3 seasons, despite being, you know, one of the most highly touted quarterbacks coming out of that class. So he was a big disappointment leading up to this season. Really wasn't given probably a draftable grade by most people, and kind of played himself into it with a solid senior campaign. Ralph, I know we're going to the Big Ten with you, I believe, here, and Mr. Mike Kafka out of Northwestern. What are your thoughts on the Wildcat?
Yeah, I like Mike Kafka. I think he has a solid arm to throw hard line drives down the seam with accuracy. He could stick the ball in tight windows. He has also shown the ability to put enough air under his throws on deeper routes, making his passes very catchable. He's shown the capability of throwing on the run. I like this kid a lot. I think he could at least be a good backup in the NFL, if not a starter down the road. Very intelligent quarterback. Mike Kafka is a guy that I'm excited about.
Yeah, I like Kafka too. I think, you know, if you draft Kafka, though, the one thing is, are you looking for a guy who's a project, who's a potential starting quarterback, or are you looking for kind of a Jim Sorge, a guy who can be a solid backup? See, to me, Kafka is more in that backup role. He's going to have, I think, a longer career than some of these other guys we've talked about, you know, in terms of having more upside, but I think he doesn't have the upside that those guys have. So I think he's more of a solid, safe pick, but I'm not sure he's ever really going to be a starting quarterback. I think he'll be a very good, solid backup, a guy you'll love to have on your roster. And I guess I'm going to talk about Sean Canfield, who I still kind of like. I know everybody else is really down on him. Didn't show good arm strength at the Senior Bowl. So I think he's somebody that, you know, like we talked about with Pike and a couple other guys, he's really going to need to hit that weight room and bulk up a little bit and get stronger. And like a Pike, you know, he's got kind of that long, lanky build. He's also a one-year starter who really hadn't done much up until this season. And, you know, I like what I saw in a lot of games this year. Looked very impressive against USC, anticipated well, was in rhythm, threw in rhythm, you know, hit his receivers in stride, led them well. But then, you know, we didn't see that in other performances. Really struggled in the bowl game with the inclement weather. And as Ralph noted last week at the Senior Bowl, did not do a good job of anticipating at all. You know what I mean? Where he was thrown into the safety and threw that bad pick into the end zone. So, you know, obviously when you're talking about guys that are dropping to the 6th, 7th round, maybe even priority free agents, there's going to be a lot of criticisms and ups and downs with these guys. Otherwise, they wouldn't go that low. But I think Canfield's a guy that has some potential and some upside. You know, if he gets bigger, stronger, gets coached up a little more, gets some more experience, I'm not as down as Canfield as some other guys are. All right, we've talked a lot about these quarterbacks, broken down most of the class of the 2010. You're listening to NFL Draft Digest Weekly, brought to you by NFLDraftBible.com. Don't forget to go to the website. We've got Q&As and interviews and player spotlights coming in every day. Recently posted, we have Mr. Mike Kafka Q&A, who Ralph talked about, Thad Turner out of Ohio, A.J. Jefferson, a sleeper out of Fresno at cornerback, Jermaine Cunningham, the pass-rushing defensive end out of Florida. Is he a hybrid? Is he an outside linebacker? Mr. Kyle Wilson, who unfortunately couldn't join us in last week's show, who's a fast riser, looks like he's going to be a first-round pick out of cornerback. Chuck the Truck, Mr. Charles Scott, I know one of Ralph's favorites. And, folks, these are just the interviews and player spotlights we've posted in the last 2 days, and they will be coming all year long. We have interviews coming up with Sidquan Thompson, Dominique Franks, a pair of top corners who could be second-round picks. We have a Q&A I did with Mr. Dick Vermeil a couple days ago. And to his point, you know, his philosophy in the All-Star games is similar to that of most NFL teams. We don't want to drop guys in the All-Star game. We don't want to raise them too much either, maybe a round or so in terms of grade. But if a kid has a bad day, they don't necessarily want to drop a guy, you know, taking one day from a full resume. And also, folks, don't forget, go to FSN, the fantasy, FSC, I should say, .fm, the fantasy sports channel for all your fantasy news. And that's where we're going to take you right now. We have Bob Johnson coming on shortly. But before we talk to Coach Johnson and the quarterbacks he's tutoring, that's Zach Robinson, Colt McCoy and Sean Canfield, we're going to talk a little fantasy and give a fantasy spin on these players. Justin, I'm going to start with you and talk about who do you like from a fantasy perspective, who are players that might be able to help you quicker, not necessarily as a rookie, but maybe in year two, and then who are some sleepers for down the road?
Well, you know what, I think we start off with a guy who I think is the number one quarterback there, and that's Jimmy Clausen. I think he's a guy who, you know, could go to, let's say, the Redskins or maybe Buffalo and be that starter in year one. I think if he goes to Buffalo, he's got some talent there in the backfield with Marshawn Lynch and with, you know, Lee Evans, maybe if T.O. comes back, you know. So he's got some ability, would have some weapons there. Same thing with Washington. You know, they don't have, they've got some, you know, receivers who haven't played as well up to potential, but, you know, they could do some things. So I really like what, you know, Jimmy Clausen could do, if he, depending on what teams he goes to. And as far as the sleeper, you know, a guy who you had mentioned, Tim Hiller, is a guy who I think down the road could be a guy who, you know, I know he's not, we don't want to compare anybody to Tom Brady, but he's a guy that I say, okay, hey, you know, maybe he's a fifth, sixth rounder, and, you know, 3 years down the road, the starter gets hurt and he comes in, because he's not only a smart guy, but he's got all the abilities as far as physically, you know, big, tall, you know, over 6'3", 225 pounds, he's got all that, the mechanics there. You know, he's just got to get more, you know, far as confidence, I think, and ability to be able to do it on a consistent basis. So he's a guy, 3 years down the road, he could be a guy who, you know, maybe is drafted in the fifth round, but could be a starter in your fantasy league.
Yeah, I mean, the way I have it sorted out is I'm looking at three quarterbacks that can maybe help you in the first year, and then I have a list of about five guys that are more of like keeper league material. And the three players I think could come out and help you in your first year obviously are, number one, Sam Bradford. If he could stay healthy, I think he has the accuracy and the decision-making skills to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league down the road, and he can help you in his first year also, depending, again, on where he lands. Jimmy Clausen is my number two guy, a good decision-maker as well, who goes through his reads, a smart quarterback, but has to perform better under pressure. Number three, Dan LeFever. He's a smart, accurate quarterback. Some people like to compare him to Chad Pennington. I think, obviously, he has the accuracy and good touch. He's a quick learner, a good scrambler. And the five guys that I have in terms of fantasy quarterbacks that are more developmental guys, these are keeper league guys, keeper league players. I'm going to start off with Jarrett Brown, then Jonathan Crompton, very athletic passer, as you mentioned before, Justin. Tony Pike is a guy that is an interesting player, Colt McCoy, and then finally Mike Kafka. Out of these five guys, you know, it's going to be intriguing to see where Tony Pike lands, because, you know, I don't know about you, Justin, but, you know, let's just say that, you know, he goes to the Minnesota Vikings, and let's say Brett Favre retires and he has to battle it out with Tavares Jackson for a starting job. Do you picture a guy like Tony Pike stepping in there in his first year and eventually taking over as a starter if his only competition is a Tavares Jackson or a Sage Rosenfels?
Well, I think definitely. I think he's a guy, like you said, I mean, he can get stronger. His biggest problem is he's not that big physically. He's 6'6", but as far as weight-wise, he's, you know, 207. So he needs to get put on 15, 20 pounds and then be able to be bigger, stronger. So, yeah, if he sat behind a, you know, Brett Favre for this next year and then came, you know, and then had to battle Tavares Jackson, he's a guy that could be in a second year, could be a starting quarterback. And with all those weapons in Minnesota, could be a guy who could distribute the football, get it to Adrian Peterson, get it to Percy Harvin, you know, get it to Sidney Rice and be a, you know, really good fantasy-type quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think another quarterback like that, I think depending on where he goes, might get an opportunity to see some reps in his first year, is a guy like Colt McCoy. You know, again, you have to see where these guys land, what type of coaching staff they're working with, how they're going to be developed, you know. But then again, then you have other guys to me that, you know, I don't think they're going to do much their first year. You know, like a guy that I like a lot, Jarrett Brown, you know, I think he has to be developed a little bit. Even a guy like Jonathan Crompton, I think he's very athletic. I think he has a lot of skills. But again, I think this is a guy who down the road might turn into something. He's still a little too inconsistent for my taste, you know. You know, that's the way I rank them. Bradford, Clausen, LeFever, and then Jarrett Brown, Jonathan Crompton, Tony Pike, Colt McCoy, and Mike Kafka. So So, Justin, is there any other, like, are there any other sleeper quarterbacks that you think down the road, maybe 2 or 3 years, could develop? You mentioned Tim Hiller. Is there anybody else there on the radar?
One guy who I really liked and that, you know, has had some off-the-field problems is Ryan Perilou from LSU and then went to Jacksonville State. I mean, as far as his ability, he's got all the physical tools. I mean, he can make all the throws. He's a very good athlete. We saw what he could do down at the Texas First of the Nation game, you know, and just being a very good player there. And the biggest question mark is he's going to be a guy that's going to, you know, those interviews are going to be huge for him. And as far as what he did, you know, at LSU, they got him kicked off the team. Hey, has he grown up? Has he matured? Because as far as physically, he's a guy who would do everything, and 2 years down the road, if he can, you know, keep his head on straight and keep pushing forward and keep making improvement, he's a guy that, not only as far as throwing the football, but he can run, he can make the plays with his feet, and he could be a fantasy guy, you know, down the road.
Thanks a lot, guys, for breaking that down for me. But now we have our special guest coming on, quarterback guru Coach Bob Johnson out there in California. He's worked with guys like Matthew Stafford, Carson Palmer, who were number one overall picks, as well as Mark Sanchez last year, who went fifth in the draft, helped the Jets go all the way to the AFC Championship game. And this year he is working with none other than Colt McCoy, Zach Robinson, both coming out of the Big 12, as well as the southpaw Sean Canfield from Oregon State. Coach, thanks a lot for coming on the show. How are you doing this morning?
Real good, thank you. How about you guys?
Good.
Well, we're doing pretty good. We've been talking quarterbacks all day long so far. So let's start. Let me start out with you, with Colt McCoy, the quarterback out of Texas. You know, he's still working his way back from the injury that he suffered so unfortunately in the championship game. How's he doing right now, Coach?
He's doing fine. He's come along real well. Seems to be back to normal to me. He's really come a long ways and done it the right way, and he's still waiting to just rip it off probably, but basically he's 99.9%. I think he's ready to go.
That's definitely great to hear, and I'm sure you have a lot of NFL teams reaching out to you and talking to you. When they do ask you about a Colt McCoy and what he could bring to the table, what are his best assets moving forward as a potential pro starting quarterback?
Well, he's very, very, overall, very strong in all the categories. Been taught very well by his coaches and very astute and good on the blackboard. Any kind of questions or watching film and knowing what he's been taught at Texas, he's extremely knowledgeable about the game, has a very big passion for the game. And I think all those things will equate into a very good pro career. He's also got all the throws on the field and has a tremendous head for the game. So I think he'll have a very nice career in the NFL.
Hi, Coach. This is Ralph Mancini. I wanted to ask you about another quarterback that you're working with right now, Sean Canfield. When we last saw him at the Senior Bowl, he showed some positives and some negatives. He's got great size. He puts good touch on his throws. But, you know, at times at the Senior Bowl, he appeared to wait too long for his receivers to get open at times. Was that just a product of him being used to his targets getting much more separation at the collegiate level than they will in the pros or even in all-star games like the Senior Bowl?
I wasn't down at the Senior Bowl to see what you're commenting on. He's had a very, very good 2 months out here with us. I've known Sean for a long time. He's a Southern California kid. I watched him through college mature and talked to Coach Riley a lot. Mike and I are very close friends. And Mike's coached, obviously, in the pro level as a head coach. And he thinks tremendous things about Sean, and I don't blame him. I think Sean's going to have a real nice career, a great career in the NFL as well. I don't know what happened at the Senior Bowl as far as your observation there and other people's maybe. All I know is he can rip it off whenever he wants to. So I don't know what his each throw was down there. I can't comment on that at all. But I know going into the Senior Bowl and coming out of the Senior Bowl here where we work out, you know, every once in a while he'll fall in and not want to rip all the balls off, you know, like a dig route or a comeback. But in a game situation, he will. And, you know, so I would imagine if he didn't do that in the Senior Bowl, he just has to know that that's what they want to see, because he does have all the arm strength and all the balls, and has a great touch on the ball as well, as you alluded to. So I think Sean, as Coach Riley would say as well, is going to have a great pro career. He's come a long ways in college, and his last 2 years were very, very productive, and he's played in the Pac-10, which I think shows you a lot of different defenses, a lot of pressures, and I think he's used to that, and I think that'll help him in pro career as well.
Hey, Coach,
I just wanted to ask one more on Sean Canfield. I thought he really emerged and stepped up a lot as a senior, maybe improved as much as any other quarterback from his junior to senior year, and he seems to throw such a catchable ball. You know, that's an expression we hear a lot. Is that more about the touch? Is that about accuracy? But he just seems to make it easy for his receivers to catch the ball.
Yeah, I think he does. I think his ball is easy to catch. And again, you know, that doesn't mean he doesn't rip it in there when he has to, because he can really do that. But you're right. I think he does throw a ball that people would like to catch. He's, you know, he's soft enough at times when he sees a guy wide open. You don't have to put all the juice on it. And I think you see that a lot out of good pro quarterbacks and guys that try to rip it through all the time. Receivers aren't liking that a whole lot, even at the pro level. So I think he knows when to put it on and when to take it off. And I think, he's going to do quite well.
And we're talking to Coach Bob Johnson from California. Don't forget, go to campquarterback.com so you can learn more about Coach. He's got his top 10 quarterback tips out there. You can see testimonials from previous quarterbacks he's coached, and you can learn about the camps that he has coming up this summer, you know, for all the young quarterbacks out there who want to get coached up and learn about the game of football, learn about playing the position of quarterback. Justin, sorry to cut you off again. Let me throw it to you. I know you have a question for Coach Johnson.
Yeah, Coach Justin Van Fulpen. Hey, I had, you know, as far as Zach Robinson, he didn't have the season he probably would have liked to, his senior season there at Oklahoma State. And then, you know, as far as had a pretty good Senior Bowl, what do you think he really needs to work on? And as far as what does he need to improve the most to really become that, you know, NFL-type quarterback that he wants to be?
Well, the third and final, Zach, I got a chance to watch two or three of his games late at night or whenever I could catch him, because I had him in the Elite 11 as a counselor last year, and I was quite impressed with him. And I still am after working with him for the last 2 months. I saw the Senior Bowl, and I saw all three guys perform. You know, obviously one for all of them, you know, excuse me, I didn't see Colt down there. He didn't perform down there. But the two guys that we've talked about laterally here, they need to first work on ball protection. You know, in pro ball, you're going to have to in the pocket, which is almost everybody coming out of college. They get a little lax with the ball and leave one hand on it instead of two. So both those guys would almost laugh about that now, because we've talked about it and talked about it, but they'll get that in a hurry, that's for sure. So just a small deal there. I think everybody that played in that game needs to work on that. But nevertheless, that'll come pretty easily. On the throwing end of things, Zach's got all the throws, obviously. There wasn't anybody down there that threw the ball any better than Zach. He brings it hard and has all the throws you need in a big way. So I just think maybe, you know, just keep playing, you know, and getting used to everything, the speed and everything else. And I think he is. I think all three guys are. They played in big conferences, big games. I think Zach's college career could have been helped with the lack of some of the injuries that he had on his team. It's tough when you lose some of your top guys, and not just receiver, but O-line and different situations. So I think in his case, he didn't have the team around. I'm not saying they weren't any good or anything. I'm just saying he probably didn't quite have the team that those other two guys had surrounding him. And there's not a quarterback around that can't play with those other guys. I mean, they're your best friends, and you just can't do it by yourself. And that's position is very humbling and very quick to turn on you when that happens. But I think he showed in the Senior Bowl, both on and off the field, that he's a guy to contend with, and somebody's going to get a real good one, as they are in Sean and Colt. I'm very fortunate to be with all three guys. I couldn't be happier. My son Rob Johnson and myself both are. Rob's worked just as much, just as hard on a daily basis. So He gives him a big insight as well because he played 10 years in the league, and as he did the other guys the last 3 or 4 years with me. So it's been a lot of fun for me to work with those three guys and Rob as well, helping these guys along. But Zach is very capable and has all the throws, and he's going to have a real fine career as the other two are.
Hey, great. Coach, this is Ralph again. You know, when you watch some of these quarterbacks in these all-star settings, Texas versus the Nation, Senior Bowl, a lot of them look pretty good in practice with shorts on, but they're not nearly as good in game situations with defenders in their faces. How do you try to prepare quarterbacks in dealing with the pass rush?
You know, just their vision down the field. There's some focus drills that we do that keep them and their eyes focused on nothing but just feeling the person coming around and not seeing him. And most of these guys have been taught really well before they come here. And I think that that's the biggest help, I mean, in game situation. Then we watch their college tapes and see some of the things that they've done in college, and they all bring all the cut-ups, and both good and bad. You know, we have them all right here with us, so it's a great situation to have. We have pro tapes as well. They can see some of the mistakes and some of the vision of some of these guys that have done it for years. So just showing them by example, talking about it, and focusing down the field with your eyes, and regardless of what's around you. We send a lot of people at them who will come at them in different angles, and they've got to adjust their hips and do all those things without really seeing us, just feeling us is what they keep hearing from us. I mean, you've just got to, and they know that, but they just continually have to harp on that, and that's how we handle it.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Coach, thank you very much for giving us some time. I know you have a busy schedule working out with these guys. Just want to remind the listeners to go to campquarterback.com and check that out. Coach, thank you very much, and good luck with your work.
That's great. You guys do a great job, and thank you for the little plug you gave our camp, and I appreciate it very much, and I hope things turn out.
Thank you, Coach. Hopefully we'll have you on again.
Thanks, Coach. Sure.
All right, joining us now as we move from Coach Bob Johnson, the quarterback guru out there in California on the West Coast. He's worked with a lot of guys out there, like as I mentioned earlier, you know, going back to Carson Palmer. His son Rob Johnson played at USC, as he mentioned, and in the NFL. Joining us now will be one of our own, a newcomer, a rookie to the NFL Draft Bible. This is his first season, the 2010 draft. And that is Ben Klein. You can go on NFLDraftBible.com right now and check out Big Ben's mock draft. That's NFL's our mock draft 3.0. You can check that out. Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for joining us. How's it going this morning?
Things are going great. Right now I'm actually on a train on my way to Albany, so I'm going to do the absolute best that I can.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot. Ben, let me start off the top. We started the show with who we all thought the best quarterback in this draft was. It's a two-horse race, Sam Bradford, Jimmy Clausen. Who floats your boat? If you had to pick one of those guys and they were both on the board, which direction would you go?
The direction that I would go personally is I would go with Jimmy Clausen over Bradford. I think that Clausen's experience in a pro-style offense is just so key to his development as an NFL quarterback, because what you'll see with Clausen is he will actually throw his wide receivers open when they're covered. Bradford has exceptional accuracy, but because of the spread option that he plays in, a lot of what happens is he throws to open receivers and hits them in stride. And while his accuracy is amazing, you don't see him as often throwing into incredibly tight windows the way you see Clausen does. If I had a West Coast offense, I'd draft Clausen, and I'd be happy for a decade.
All right, since you made Justin happy with your answer, I'll throw the next question Justin's way.
Hey, Ben, I wanted to see, what's your thoughts about in regards to Colt McCoy, and where do you think he projects to the next level, and where do you see him as far as in the future?
I actually like Colt McCoy a lot more than a lot of other people do. Now, I think the key to Colt McCoy is his shoulder has to check out. That injury that he sustained at the end of college, everything needs to be perfect for him to get drafted as high as he could, which if he works out really well, should be around the second round. I like his height. I like his feet. I think that he's got the potential to make pretty much almost every single NFL throw. He doesn't have the perfect arm, but it's not Chad Pennington week. And I think that if McCoy is put on the bench for a year or two, drafted in the second round, and allowed to develop his body and his mind properly, I like his combination of moxie, feet, and I don't think his arm is as bad as a lot of people say. So I'm actually a little higher on McCoy than a lot of people are.
Hey, Big Ben, Ralph Mancini here. I want to throw a wild card your way. What about Jevon Snead? What do you make out of him? I mean, this guy has a tremendous arm. He's got good athletic skills. But then again, his mechanics are way off. What do you make of this guy? Does he have a future as an NFL quarterback?
No, I don't think he has the head for it. I think he's got all the physical tools, but Ryan Leaf had all the physical tools too. And I just don't see Snead having the moxie, the confidence to be able to pull it off. I mean, what he endured the last season at Ole Miss was just really, he played really, really poorly. And everyone had such high expectations for him. And then he compounded that mistake by coming out too early. He should have went back to school. He should have joined Locker and Mallet and gone back to school for another year. He made a real big mistake coming out. And the way that he is now, I don't think he can be a starting caliber quarterback. I don't think his mind is ever going, his technique, I don't think his instincts, I just don't see them developing to make up for the deficiencies there. I just don't see it.
Hey, Ben, I love the analysis. He's definitely not a fence rider. He's on one side or the other side, and a player who's probably created the most opinions. Obviously, we got to ask you about Tim Tebow before we let you go. What's your take on Tim Tebow? Is he a quarterback? Is he an H-back? Would you draft him? How high would you draft him?
I wouldn't draft Tebow at all. I wouldn't touch him. And the reason being is that whenever I hear him talk in interviews about the criticism that he faces due to his throwing motion, he always talks about his release point. Well, my three-quarter release, you know, Brett Favre had somewhat of a three-quarter release. Phillip Rivers does fine. And that tells me that he just doesn't get it, because what people have the problem with is it's not his release point. It's the fact that he brings his arm back underneath his waist and then cocks it back and then launches the ball. Not even Byron Leftwich had a throwing motion that spastic. And I just don't, even with all this training that he's supposedly going through for the NFL draft at the combine, he didn't even seem like he was making an effort to bring the ball back behind his ear and launching it. He just kept on dropping it below his waist. And I have never seen an NFL quarterback with such a convoluted throwing motion become successful. I've just never seen it. Even Leftwich, who had a cannon for an arm, just couldn't endure the amount of punishment he took because he held on to the ball too long because of his throwing motion. And I just, with Tebow, I think his running ability is overrated for the pro style. I think his throwing ability, I just don't see it happening at all. I mean, motivation can only get you so far. Motivation is useless without talent. If I was motivated to be the best quarterback on earth, it doesn't mean it's going to happen because I've got a terrible arm. And it's the same thing with Tebow. It doesn't matter how motivated you are. If the talent's not there, it's just not there.
What about the intangibles?
Okay, can I be fair, Ben, and say I think Tebow might have a better arm than you. Is that fair to say?
Wait, I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah. Say that again?
No, I said, is it fair to say he might have a better arm than you at least?
Oh, absolutely. I'm terrible.
Let's give him that at least. But you're right. I mean, looking at the quarterbackcamp.com website from Coach Johnson, you know, his number one quarterback tip is be a leader, and you're right, that's important, but number two, keep your throwing elbow up, and that's something Tim Tebow just doesn't do. And down the road, it's going to negate his leadership, because if you're not in the huddle, if you're not the leader of the huddle, it's hard to be the leader of the team. Ben, thanks a lot for joining us. And folks, don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com and check out Big Ben's mock draft with his analysis, all 32 first-round picks. Ben, thank you very much.
No problem. I appreciate it. You guys have a great show.
Thanks a lot, Ben. And, you know, folks, we just got about a minute or so left in the show, so we want to take a quick peek into the future, both for next year and next week. We're going to be talking about running backs next week, but how about some of the quarterbacks for next year? Justin, is Jake Locker your guy? Is he going to be the number one guy quickly? Just a couple points on Jake Locker.
Yeah,
he's a great athlete, got a great arm. He's going to be the number one guy. And then Mallett, who's, if he comes out early, will be number two, will be best quarterbacks here in far future here.
Ralph? I like Christian Ponder of those future guys. I think he throws a catchable pass. He's got a good arm. He could stick darts into tight windows, and it's a fearless runner as well.
And don't forget about Jared Johnson, the big quarterback out of Texas A&M, who's got a fantastic arm, outplayed Colt McCoy in that Texas A&M game. And the wild card, Mr. Andrew Luck, redshirt sophomore, if he has a really great year and Coach Harbaugh leaves for the NFL, could Mr. Andrew Luck follow him as well? And next week we're going to be talking about running backs. Is C.J. Spiller a franchise back? Who are the other first-rounders? Dwyer, Matthews, Javid Best, do they deserve to go in round one? How about Dexter McCluster? Where does he fit? Is he a first-round, is he a second-round type running back? And who are the best of the big backs? Is it Gerhard, Dixon, Tate? How about Blunt or Chuck the Truck? Folks, thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you're with us again next Sunday for Draft Digest Weekly.